God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke, said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world and remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I'm going to start with a brief email. I just want to make sure that people heard me clearly. This is from Buffy. On the April 17th broadcast on AFR, you mentioned that we're able to see all of Congress's emails on the cloud. Can you specify how I would see them? Buffy, thank you for listening. Thank you for writing to me at thetoddhermanshow.com. I was doing a program, you may have tuned in during part of it, about my way of stopping Congress from getting away with all the secrets and the corruption, and that would be to open up their emails on the cloud system so that anytime we wanted to, we could go review them, read them. After all, they belong to us. Those are our emails, not theirs. The conference room meetings are our meetings, not theirs. So we should be able to do this. Technology allows it, and there is absolutely no moral reason why we shouldn't. The reason that we can't is because they won't let us, because they know what they're doing. So I was saying, Buffy, that this is something I would want to see done. Actual transparency has a way of changing things in how people act. Actual transparency in relationships deepens relationships or can end friendships. It's risky. Well, DC knows this. I don't know that I've ever been more disappointed or scared for a man in leadership than Mike Johnson. Speaker Johnson is either compromised and blackmailed, or he was lying about himself his whole life. I cannot see any of the options. His positions were one thing one day. When he became speaker, they were the exact opposite on nearly everything. Now, he still speaks the language of conservatism. After all, they're going to impeach and push, they have impeached, but they're going to push for this hearing to get Alejandro Mayorkas convicted and removed from government. That's still the language of conservatism. It's still the language of accountability. But Mike Johnson has flipped on everything. Everything. And he mentioned being taken behind closed doors by the intelligence community and given a briefing, and that's why he changed on FISA. Did the abuses of the FBI not happen? No, they did. But he's also changed this way. Speaker Johnson has created a $9 billion earmark for Hamas. Oh, pardon me, for Gaza. And nothing for the United States border, over which Hamas is walking. Oh, no, I'm not making that up. It's not supposition. In a radically underreported piece by the Politico called Project Cassandra and a follow-up piece, in Project Cassandra, 8 named intelligence service members still working for government, DOJ members, FBI officials, said that Barack Obama stopped them from indicting and arresting narco-terrorists who were working with the Taliban to bring heroin over our southern border, under it, around it, and across it. He stopped them from doing the arrest. The heroin continued to flow. Wouldn't you know it? Hezbollah did the same thing. Wouldn't you know it that Hamas, of course, is coming across our border? Why? Well, you know why. Sometimes it's very simple. They're just raising money. Sometimes they go in and they bootleg drugs and they bootleg cigarettes. And sometimes it's just that, or it's, you know, things like sex trafficking children. They've been found at the border. We've found people from terrorist states. We've found people who have been, in fact, on our terrorist watch list. Mike Johnson is either being held, well, in blackmail, or he lied about who he was. I'm praying for him. There's an email or actually a statement on social media someone wrote. And it's getting a lot of traction. And it says, hey, Speaker Johnson, if you're being blackmailed, you need to tell us. Maybe he's showing us. I don't have any proof that he's being blackmailed. But I have proof that he changed on a dime. There's also this $300 million proposed for border police. Well, at least we've got that. It's not a lot of money, $300 million for border police, and it's not in America. No, it's for Ukraine. Because all things are for Ukraine. Oh, by the way, do you remember Laken Riley? She was the nursing student who was jogging and was murdered brutally by an illegal immigrant whose brother is apparently part of a well-established drug cartel from Mexico, also an illegal immigrant. Remember him? He's been released by the Biden regime. Bye. And Speaker Mike Johnson, who, well, proclaims love for Jesus, but and God forgive me, I can't see how he's showing that. Can you? If you've been lying about who you are all these years to get power, I don't think that's loving Jesus. And if you're being blackmailed and not telling us, I don't think that's trusting Jesus, which would mean you don't really know him, which would mean you can't really love him. As I'm speaking these words, my heart hurts. I have no interest in hurting Mike Johnson's reputation or harming him, God forbid. We probably should pray for him. Something's wrong. People don't change like this. I do pray, that if Mike Johnson is in fact being blackmailed, he'll remember that Jesus is bigger than the monsters. He'll remember the armor of God. He'll remember the aborted babies that are going to continue to occur on Air Force bases. He'll remember the kids who are going to be chemically and surgically mutilated. He'll remember that it is not being kind to take the world's lifeboat, that's America, and to sink it. I pray that happens, that he remembers how to wear the armor. And I pray that he would have the strength to tell us what's actually going on, because it's quite clear that something's going on. Congressman Chip Roy is justifiably upset with the failed and maybe blackmailed Speaker Mike Johnson.
$1 billion in humanitarian aid that can get funneled to Gaza, to Hamas. Then we're doing the very thing the American people are tired of. We are funding both sides of the coin. And we're doing that right now with respect to Ukraine, where we're allowing Russia to be emboldened by our foolish energy policy. We're helping them at the same time we're being told we've got to continue to fund a war in Ukraine before the American border is secure. If there's one thing Republicans stood up on, united, was that we would secure the border of the United States, and we've let every single funding bill get across the floor without securing the border of the United States, with a promise to use Ukraine as leverage with the administration to guarantee a secure border. And here we are, completely running away from that promise. Well, not on our watch. We're going to throw everything we have at stopping this foolish capitulation by Republican leadership.
And this surprising capitulation, because Mike Johnson had said that wasn't going to be the case, and then he changed. There are people in our world to whom we should listen. Mike Johnson, we should listen very closely if he wants to come and tell us what's going on. There is a woman who calls herself Iranian woman, and she's speaking truth and risking her life doing it. She posts on Instagram and other social media channels, and in this case, a beautifully eloquent statement to people who are suddenly so concerned about the Middle East. Here is the Iranian woman calling out the distortion of the narrative surrounding the Islamic Republic. She asks, where were you, to the Free Palestine crowd when the regime was oppressing its people?
Iranian woman here. It's become very apparent that you haven't been listening to anything that we've had to say for the past 2 years. But I was wondering if you could just lend me a few minutes of your time in this ungodly hour to hear us now. We've had to watch over the past 24 hours, people clambering onto the internet to exclaim that Iran has the right to defend itself. In what capacity have you distorted the story to make the Islamic Republic the victim? That's I think what we're most curious about. When we were screaming for the past 2 years that they were lynching us, where were you? When we were screaming that they were killing Iranian women for not wearing a hijab, where were you? When they were lynching Iranian men from cranes for protesting, where were you? When we were explaining that this is a terrorist occupying force, where were you?
She continues in this statement that could cause her to be murdered, tracked down. And I think she's very careful to not disclose where she lives. I hope that she understands that stuff can be geotagged and looked back to. I'm sure she does. I mean, she's been doing this for a while. Here, this woman who calls herself Iranian woman deconstructs the Iran has the right to defend itself argument by highlighting the differences between the Iranian people and the Iranian regime.
But all of a sudden, everyone's graduated from Instagram School of Law to say that this is a violation of international law and Iran has the right to defend itself. First of all, you're not talking about Iran. You're talking about the Islamic Republic. What the Islamic Republic does is not a reflection of the Iranian people. We've been clear about what we want, which is peace. Second of all, you may have discovered the Middle East yesterday, but the Middle East didn't start existing yesterday. If you want to talk about an act of war, just a few days ago, a federal court determined that the attacks on Israeli embassies and Jewish centers in Argentina were conducted by the Islamic Republic and Hezbollah. That was in the 90s. That was in the 90s. Was that an act of war? How about the terror proxies that the Islamic Republic has created to foster regional instability? What did you think that they were there for? What did you think Hezbollah was there for? Hamas, Houthis, their militia groups in Iraq and Syria. Did you think that they were there to instigate a system of public schooling, education, to feed the poor, house the unhoused? What did you think that they were there for? Is that an act of war? Was October 7th an act of war? Are the rockets that Hezbollah fires into northern Israel on a near daily basis an act of war? And so when these senior IRGC commanders meet up with Hezbollah in an IRGC military base, okay, not an Iranian embassy, and Israel strikes, your response is to say that that is an act of war.
This young woman speaking so eloquently as Iranian woman, that's her title, that's what she refers to herself on social media, also said to people that, look, you with your Instagram law degrees, which I thought was a very funny line, you're really no friends. You're really not. We want out from under this theocracy. And when we have Mike Johnson, Speaker Johnson, who has changed on a dime, he should listen to her. Well, he should listen to the American people first, and he should listen to her. Because as we began the program, Mike Johnson's cool with a $9 billion earmark to Gaza, which is controlled by Hamas. Hamas is controlled by Iran. Hamas and Iran have pledged to wipe out all Jewish people and the state of Israel, which they pretend does not exist. Then they pledged to move on to us. They are using our southern border to come in to traffic people, to make money from bootleg drugs and cigarettes, and to bring operatives who can become kinetic warriors, that is, to take physical action against us. And Mike Johnson wants to fund border police for Ukraine. Something changed. Mike Johnson was either lying about who he was his entire life, or something happened behind the scenes, and Mike Johnson is being forced to take actions with which he disagrees. Mike Johnson owes us the answer. We'll come back with an email challenging a podcast I did called The Accidental Satanist, where I took Dennis Prager to task a little bit. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples' View.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
A recent editorial in the Wall Street Journal began with these sentences. Memo to companies, go ahead and cancel your DEI programs. That's more or less the message of a recent report commissioned by the UK government finding that diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace isn't all it's cracked up to be. The report found little evidence that DEI had any positive effect on corporate culture. In fact, it is difficult to say what DEI means. The terms are, according to the report, ambiguous, rapidly evolving, and often conflated. Although the current fad is to focus on diversity among racial, social, or other lines, a visibly diverse organization is not necessarily meaningfully heterogeneous. The Wall Street Journal editors concluded that viewpoint diversity may be more important for a thriving company. As I've mentioned in previous commentaries, canceling DEI programs and closing DEI departments can save money. U.S. companies spend $8 billion a year on DEI training. The other savings is in the legal area. Even in the U.K., there have been lawsuits against companies because their DEI policies have violated British protections on freedom of belief by punishing employees who dissented from the DEI orthodoxy on race or transgenderism. Last month, I talked about the fact that the University of Florida announced that it was ending its experiment with DEI. The college eliminated DEI positions, thereby saving more than $5 million on the controversial program. The Florida legislature passed a law prohibiting state funding of DEI programs, and the University of Florida president, Ben Sasse, implemented it. I suggest that other companies and universities follow their example. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Inflation, go to viewpoints.info/inflation. That's viewpoints.info/inflation.
Danny, the baby just rolled over for the first time. Oh, what a strong little boy.
That a boy, son. You're on your way.
Oh, aww, who's my strong little man?
Rollovers can be milestones in life, some early on and some later. One rollover you might consider is from your individual retirement account to a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. If you'd like to increase your retirement income and leave an impactful gift to the work of American Family Association, the charitable gift annuity is a worthwhile option. To learn more, contact the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or email foundation@afa.net. If you own an IRA, would like to increase your charitable giving, but need retirement income, the IRA to CGA rollover may be for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. On this program, I talked about my concern for Dennis Prager. I don't know Dennis. I met him once, had a brief conversation with him, courtesy of Michael Medved. You probably know Michael, national radio host for some time. And he's kind enough to introduce me to Dennis. We had a brief discussion in the studio. I just want to be clear, I don't know the man. I've been very concerned about some positions he's been taking, because he's done so much for the conservative movement. I respect his intellect, and I'm beginning to fear that Dennis respects his own intellect far too much. Maybe I'm guilty of the same thing. You can tell me that. Just email me at thetoddhermanshow.com. I do not want to come across as arrogant. God forbid. Dennis Prager has said that he's okay with pornography. It's not much of a problem. It's sort of a Christian thing to have a problem with it. He said, hey, if it's causing a problem in your marriage, well, then that's an issue. But if it's not causing a problem in your marriage, then it's a non-issue. How exactly does filling your mind with the sexual activity of other people not cause a problem in your marriage, where a sexual union between a married man and a married woman is the act of becoming one flesh, made pleasurable by God? He's, of course, wants that to be a pleasurable experience shared with in the bounds of a loving marriage. And it's this process that, of course, allows us to participate in the creation of life. There's so much to it. How does the programming of your mind to
enjoy watching other people do that, how does that not harm your marriage? After all, with porn, you don't need to have romance, emotional connection, patience, love, perseverance, self-control, charity. You can keep lists of grievances. You can be prideful. And most of all, I mean, you're seeking to be served. You're doing it in the dark, usually. So that got me very concerned, because it also is not just a Christian thing. The Jewish faith is replete with demands that people be sexually modest and sexually selective. Dennis Prager, and I played this last week, was on a program with Dave Rubin, who is a same-sex attracted man who has a child with another same-sex attracted man in a relationship that they consider to be a marriage. And Dennis and he chatted in Dave's studio. And at that point, Dennis Prager shared that, in his mind, bisexuality is the norm. He did say that he thinks heterosexuality is better. And then he said that he was shocked to learn that prior to the Bible, that homosexual activity was accepted prior to the Bible. And this was part and parcel of a time where he was saying that even if it's in the Bible, things have to be logical. Even if it's in the Bible, it has to be logical. These series of events got me very, very concerned. The point of the Bible was God giving us an instruction kit on what to do and what not to do. That was the point. The point of Moses with the law was to instruct people on how to live as free people, now out of the bonds of physical slavery, so that they not become spiritual slaves. That was the point of the Bible. And to couple that with the statement that the Bible has to, even if it's in the Bible, it has to be logical, really alarmed me. Because God is logic. Well, how could I say that? Because you cannot have truth without logic contained therein. You can't. Dennis Prager, then, I learned, has written a series of books called The Rational Bible. I had a deep, deep concern about that. A wonderful email from a gentleman named Daniel, calls himself a fellow brother in Christ, and I accept that, wrote me a note. I wanted to read this to you and see what you think. Dear Todd, I enjoy listening to your podcast and your thoughts on life and societal perspectives. Listening, he's referring to the podcast I do. I did something called The Accidental Satanist. That was the title of it. Episode 1537, The Accidental Satanist. I was surprised to hear you make a statement about Dennis Prager and his book series on the Rational Bible. That was misleading and judgmental as to Dennis's acumen to write and teach on the books of the Old Testament. Dennis is a scholar of the Hebrew language and has taught on the Hebrew books of the Tanakh for over 40 years. Because of his knowledge of the Hebrew language, the original script for these books, he's able to translate to better communicate the original intent of God's word in these books to his people. So instead of making statements that might lead people who are listening to believe that Dennis, who is Jewish, is interpreting the entire Christian Bible as wrong, so far, Dennis has written about three books, Genesis, Exodus, and Deuteronomy. Respectfully, Daniel, fellow brother in Christ. Indeed. And Dennis Prager named his series The Rational Bible. Rational according to Dennis Prager. Dennis Prager, who says porn is fine. Well, unless it interrupts your marriage, which it has to. And that it's okay, that same-sex activity is, he's okay with that. That's fine. That's not what the Jewish faith says, but it's fine. That's because he's being rational. And Dennis Prager, who was shocked to learn that prior to the Bible, same-sex activity was considered okay. Lots of things were considered okay before the Bible. That's the point of the Bible. So, Daniel, I appreciate the note, and I really don't sit here thinking, how can I assassinate characters of people? I just know that Dennis Prager has a lot of influence, and I'm concerned about him. And I'm concerned about how he's using his influence. We have to be on the watch, because there's a lot of people who have vested interests in finding very unique takes on Christianity. And sometimes they're just interesting, except when you attach them to the source. Sometimes they're just interesting, except when it's a opening of a religious Overton window. The Overton window is a political theory that states that over time, there are certain things that can be discussed in politics, and if you expand the Overton window, you can do more things to people. The, I guess, religious version of the Overton window is best typified by the sexual left and the gay gospel. For his Easter sermon, a so-called pastor named Rob Fakway of St. Mark's UMC, an LGB so-called T, Q-affirming congregation, put on a monologue from what he considers to be the perspective of Judas. Fakway thinks Jesus may have misspoke and Judas misheard.
And he took the cup of kerosene and he dipped his bread in it. And as he handed it to me and I dipped my bread, he leaned back and he said, "Judas, what you have to do, go do it." How could he know? How could he know? But what I thought is he was telling me, it's okay. Go. He was giving me permission. It was his way of saying, I know what you're doing and I'm okay with it. I'll go talk to them. I'll go listen to what they have to say. I'll keep it between us. Go. So I left. I went to the home of the high priest and the council that was there. And I said, I know where he's going to be. We go there all the time. It's a special place in the garden. I should have known. Something was wrong when the high priest said, well, we can't go, but we're going to send soldiers to help protect him and bring him to us. They just need to know who he is. So I took them there and I said, it's the one I greet. And I went up to him and kissed him on the cheek, and I knew immediately it was all wrong. They lied to me. They betrayed me. And everyone left.
So it's a unique take in a way. Oh, it's a miscommunication. And I guess it's just interesting. Except churches like that have a vested interest in inventing new aspects of the Bible that has been studied for 2,000 years. It's the most studied book in history. And to me, it ties back to Dennis Prager and these rational takes. Well, I'll give you the rational Bible. God is rational. I've discovered that the Bible actually says, no, you haven't. If you've found a unique discovery in the Bible, I beg you to test all spirits. Because of how well studied it's been. You may have seen this, and I want to be careful about how I comment on this because I don't know anybody involved. I don't know Mark Driscoll. I don't know John Lindell, but there is something I do know, and that's spectacle. I know that. So you probably have heard the discussion. Mark Driscoll had been a pastor of a super successful church called Mars Hill in Seattle, where I used to live, and it blew up into a whole bunch of different churches and many, many locations. I should say same church, many locations. Mark is a really gifted communicator, really gifted preacher. And my understanding, having checked with pastors who know him, is that he had been put under discipline by his eldership board, and he chose not to go through with the discipline plan. He left Mars Hill and Mars Hill collapsed, is my understanding. And now he's in Arizona and he has a church down there, which based upon, I think on his personality is doing well. He was invited to a men's event at which a former male stripper appeared. Now you could say he's still a stripper and that he went on stage with his shirt off and did this pole dance. My understanding is that man, Alex Magalia, my understanding is that he's turned his life to Christ. That's my understanding. Just to set the scene, this is on a stage with a massive backdrop, probably 50, 60 foot high backdrop of the tail of a custom motorcycle in bright colors, which to me bears a lot of discussion. This is what Mark Driscoll said right before he was asked to leave the stage, a request he immediately honored.
But let me do this. I've been up since 1 o'clock in the morning. The reason I'm hoarse is I have been praying for you, and my heart is very burdened for you. And I want to be very careful with this, and it's not what I want to say, but the Jezebel spirit has already been here. The Jezebel spirit opened our event. This is a rebuke and a correction of no one. This is an observation. Before the word of God was open, there was a platform. It was a high place. On it was a pole, an asherah. The same thing that's used in the strip club for women who have the Jezebel spirit to seduce men. In front of that was a man who ripped his shirt off like a woman does in front of a pole at a strip club. That man then ascended. See, our God is not arrogant. He doesn't ascend. Our God is humble. He descends. And then he swallowed a sword and Jesus cried, okay, Pastor John, I'll receive that.
And having received it, Mark Driscoll left the stage. And John Lindell came to the stage and quoted Matthew 18, that John felt that Mark should have come to him privately. And in fact, he said that they'd talked before Mark went on stage and that Mark didn't mention anything about that. I don't want to get into the personalities. Here's what I do want to state. If you are in the business of spectacle, spectacle you will get. And look, we have men's events at our church all the time. Once a year, we have something called Beast Feast. And we talk hunting and fishing. We give away knives and guns. And there are people who would say that's spectacle. And it's North Idaho. 85% of men, probably 90% of men do these things here. It's absolutely Idaho. So it's not really spectacle. It's kind of old school. The spectacle at this event, to me, is the point of the event. And if you are launching consumerist churches, that is, that are spectacle, you're going to have to continue to amp up the spectacle, and you're going to get spectacle. This is also a display of masculinity. Supposed to be. Look, I lift weights. I do CrossFit. I've signed up for the Seal Fit thing, which is a minor kind of mini version of Hell Week. So I'm not here to say that I don't celebrate that part of being a man. It's something that I deeply, deeply like about being a man. And the man we're to follow is Jesus, strongest man who ever lived. None of us could go through the 3 hours on the cross with the cup of wrath pouring down on us. None of us could do that. We'd be dead in a half a second. Jesus did that. And it's his model of masculinity, seeking to serve, not be served, coming under and lifting up, that we are to follow. Jesus, you could say, well, the miracles were spectacle. They were proof. And remember this, please. Jesus performed miracles. For instance, he fed the 5,000. After he fed them, people were still hungry. They wanted the food, and I think they wanted the spectacle. That was cool. Do that again. Jesus said, no. Truly, I tell you, unless you'll eat my body and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. That's not spectacle. That's a hard teaching that the Lord Jesus knew would cause many to turn away. When Jesus was told, perform for me, Roman officials, the people at the cross, you're the Son of Man, if you're the Messiah, free yourself. Jesus would not be their spectacle. His miracles also had a commonality. They came from love. I will always cherish the image of Jesus saying to his earthly mother, Mary, his mother, woman, my time has not come yet. I can't turn water into wine. And then looking into the eyes of his mother, saying, okay, mom, came from love. We'll come back with the Tower Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Transgenderism, critical race theory, and evolution. Is your child or grandchild ready to face these and other issues on campus? Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson with Probe Ministries and Point of View. You know, many Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why we have the Mind Games Camp this year, June 16 to 22nd, a week of presentations, role play, as well as fun at camp. Sign up today at probe.org and help them meet these challenges to their faith.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
I am well aware of what Mr. Whitaker said, and I assure you that I shall not resort to the shameful name-calling that he denounced. I leave that type of incessant bantering to others.
Today on Focus on the Family Minute, we're shining the spotlight on an Adventures in Odyssey drama, The War of the Words.
You see? That's it right there! You act like you're not talking about me, but you're really talking about me! You're just hiding it behind your words.
I do not hide behind my words, Miss Kendall. If I had something to communicate to you, I would do so directly. I simply wish to avoid petty verbal battles.
Yeah, well, you and me both, chum. I got better things to do. I'll see you later.
Farewell, my faithful companion.
Adios, amigo.
Au revoir, mon ami.
You'll find the link to the entire Odyssey drama today at familyminute.org.
Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Adam is sitting in for Randy this week. I appreciate the fine work stepping in and helping behind the scenes. He was just telling me that a woman named Mandisa Lynn Hundley, known professionally as Mandisa, died at the age of 47. She'd been on American Idol and had turned her life to Christ, become a contemporary recording artist in the Christian sphere. And I'm seeing a lot of people now sharing their sadness that she's gone. Matthew West: I'm so incredibly saddened to hear about the loss of my friend Mandisa. I always cherish the memories, times we spent together hosting award shows, going on tour, and most of all, helping her tell her story. And then I saw this from the Google machine. What did Mandisa say to Simon Cowell? If you don't know, and I would actually admire you very much if you don't know, Simon Cowell is actually a very smart man. A music entrepreneur, and his role on American Idol for years was to be the hard-to-please judge, somewhat verbally acidic. I don't know if he's changed over time, but that was his role. They all had their roles. It was interesting the way that was laid out. Super smart psychology. So Mandisa, it says here, became a fan favorite for her public kindness on American Idol, responding with forgiveness to Judge Simon Cowell's comment about her weight during the early rounds of the competition. What I want to say to you is that yes, you hurt me. And I cried, and it was painful. It really was. But I forgive you. It's powerful. Forgiveness is so powerful. Discussion with my daughter, I'll tell you about in a bit, about forgiveness.
It was really, really fundamentally important. I'll tell you about that in a second. One other bit of news, I guess, that we should share is that there are people who are, despite the risk of speaking common sense, they're doing it. It can be so sometimes depressing and sometimes intimidating to look at a world that is falling apart so completely, particularly at the level of leadership, that before we get into the Tower of Babbling, how about if we give some debabble? This is an example of someone speaking truth. I don't know that she knows the Lord. She's from Canada, so I'm going to guess that she doesn't. Canada's such trouble that way. Goodness gracious, may God Almighty forgive them. But there are some people in power, even in Canada, speaking sense. This is Danielle Smith, Premier of Alberta.
I want to talk about batteries for a minute because I know that everybody thinks that this economy is going to be operated on wind and solar and battery power, and it cannot. There is no industrialized economy in the world operating that way because they need baseload. And I'll tell you what I know about batteries because I talked to somebody who was thinking of investing in it on a 200 megawatt plant. $1 million to be able to get each megawatt stored. That's $200 million for his plant alone, and he would get 1 hour of storage. And there are long stretches in winter where we can go weeks without wind or solar. That is the reason why we need legitimate, real solutions that rely on baseload power rather than fantasy thinking. And I am not going to engage in fantasy thinking and say something is possible when I know that my principal job...
I think we need to stop.
My principal job is to have a reliable energy grid. That's what I'm trying to do.
So the person telling her to stop, of course, is a member of parliament. We cannot have this discussion. We need to stop this discussion because you're making way too much sense. Now, the reverse side of this, the flip side, because on this program, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites that I think back up my assertion that the Lord places people on tall towers of shaking sand. I see there's only two sound bites. I've done my job incorrectly. I will firmly promise that will... Wait, can I do that? Never happen again? If you tuned in for three sound bites, I apologize. It's only 66% of the Tower Babbling. Sound bite number one.
Now that we know that the Iranians do not listen to President Biden's public warnings, is there any regret here about unfreezing billions of dollars for Iranian leaders during the president's administration?
What unfreezing are you talking?
Well, the unfreezing that you did, that's Peter Doocy with Fox News talking to one of the figurehead liars, the liars for the figurehead, John Kirby. Soundbite number two. I feel so naked without soundbite number three. Remember when Joe Biden threatened to cut off aid to Ukraine if they didn't fire a prosecutor looking into corruption? You can bet Zelensky does.
We've been very clear, my colleagues from here just moments ago, that we will not accept a standalone. A standalone would actually not help Israel and Ukraine. It would actually delay the needed aid that they obviously need.
The needed aid that they obviously need. So they intend to keep these things welded together, Israel and Ukraine, though Ukraine has nothing to do with Israel. And Israel is our longest standing ally in the Middle East. Those of us who are Christian, we know that there's a special covenant with God and the Israeli people. And those of us who've observed world events know that the theocratic bosses of Iran have pledged to destroy all Jewish people, this nation of Israel, and then move on to us. So those of us paying attention, it's not a particularly hard choice. But then again, Mike Johnson, Speaker Johnson, for whatever reason, has decided to do the bidding of the people who, well, have writing his scripts now because he's changed, as we talked about in the first segment of this program. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him...
On a Disciple's View.
I share this often, or this aspect of our family life often, because I think it's very, very important that people know how brutal the attack on families has been. I will tell you again, last night again, this will be about the 53rd time that my wife and I have helped a family escape one of the Western states lest their kid be medically kidnapped. 53rd time. We got the notes about 6 o'clock. It's a family who needs help. They found out that a school counselor has been telling their daughter, the reason you're sad is because you're a boy. And they found out that their daughter had taken to believing this. She is 12, about to be 13, meaning that family loses all their parental rights. Period. The girl can go wherever she wants and have whatever she wants done. And they learned that the pieces were in place to make that happen. This is the second time in 6 weeks that we received a call for help. What do we do? Are there lawyers that can help us? It's the second time in about 6 weeks we've had to say, no, no lawyer in that state can help you. You need to leave, and you need to leave now. You need to get out, period. The pieces are in place to seize your daughter. And you will maybe never see her again. And they'll absolutely move down the path of chemically and surgically altering her. And she will probably be put in the home of a glitter family who will reparent her. Leave. And the discussion is always the same. Where do we go? Anywhere but there. Right now, go establish residency in a different state. Even if you have to rent. Well, we have to sell our house. No, you need to save your daughter. Have a family member move into your house so that it's not squatted in. You have to leave. But our kids are in school. No, your daughter's going to be seized. You have to leave. Isn't there anything we can do here? Yeah, you can pray and you can trust the armor of God and you can do that. And you are at a point right now where tomorrow, your daughter's 3 days away from being 13. And at that point, she can defy God. Well, she can defy God now. God's going to do his part. You're doing yours. The people around you are going to defy God. Your daughter appears in a position that she's going to defy God and you. You have to leave. So they did. This is happening. Well, since our case, it's 53 families. We're two people, my wife and I. Multiply that. The reason that we talk so much about this, at least I do, is because we faced this trial through the teen family adolescent mental health system. And because of what I witnessed and what it did to families was why I started to talk about the lie of transgenderism all those years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. And it was common for kids who'd been really, really brutally abused or sexually assaulted to choose for girls to choose to pretend to be boys. Our daughter has her own unique story to tell one day. And so I will not give the details other than to say that she had a terrible eating disorder and she did horrible self-harm to herself and she was actively suicidal and we were forced to put her into treatment. And I've shared that with you. I've not shared this with you. I came home from church, a discipleship group meeting we do on 7 o'clock in the morning on Wednesdays. I came home that night and was talking with my wife about, hey, how was your men's discipleship group? And said, you know, we had a fascinating discussion about forgiveness and about the power of forgiveness. And my daughter was in the kitchen and she said, that's really hard for me. I said, forgiveness. She goes, yeah. And at that point, I don't think my daughter had, at that point, she'd not told me that she'd forgiven me for putting her in treatment. She did finally tell me that. It was so thankful to hear that, grateful. So when she said that, I was thinking of myself, self-centered to think that. I said, well, tell me about that. Tell me more about that. And she goes, well, some people don't deserve forgiveness. And she went on to talk about people who had done her harm, some very serious harm. They don't deserve forgiveness. And I said a couple things. First of all, I said, let me think about that. Holy Spirit was leading the discussion because my response would have been, oh, and you think you do?
Holy Spirit led, and I said, oh, wait, you think you forgiving them does something for them? I didn't say that you needed to go to them and contact these people who abused you and say, I forgive you. No, you can forgive them here and now. They never need to know. She said, really? Yes. You go to God and say, Father God, please help the Holy Spirit within me truly forgive these people. Let me give this to you, knowing that you are the only true and righteous judge. I can't carry this anymore. It's a yoke that's dragging me down. I don't want to be yoked to this. It's a burden I can't carry. Please help me give this to you. Please help me truly forgive, as you forgave the people who put you on the cross and beat you and tried to belittle you and who killed you. Help me with that. She said, I don't need to go to them. Mm-mm. No, because you're not doing it for them. Because you can't forgive their sins. You can forgive what they did to you, the trespass against you. So it's something between you and God. And so do you remember the Lord's Prayer? She goes, sure, our Father, art in heaven. And just like everybody in America, she went to King James. Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I said, right, stop there for a minute. Help me unpack that statement. Forgive our trespasses as what? As we forgive those who trespass against us. Oh. She said, I'd always thought that meant forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, meaning because we do that too, but what are you saying, Dad? I said, that's one way to view it, but here's another way. Father God, please give us the exact amount of forgiveness that we offer others. Please take our forgiveness and give it back to us in the same measure and the same way. God is righteous and able to forgive in ways we cannot, but that's one way to view that prayer. Forgive us to the same degree we forgive others. It really helped her. And she said, I think I can do that. I think I can forgive them that way. And I said, you can, and the Holy Spirit will help you, and you really will be unloading something, taking it off of your chest. You'll be unloading the harm it did to you to a great degree and replacing it with love. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. Until God agrees, you and I can speak again together. May the peace of the Lord that surpasses all understanding rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Adam today and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.